to the first Texas Senate debate. I'm Julie Fine from NBC5, along with Gromer Jeffers from the Dallas Morning News.
Here are the rules for tonight's 60-minute debate. Once a question is asked, the candidate will have 90 seconds to answer. His opponent will have 60 seconds for a response, and then the candidate will have another 30 seconds for rebuttal.
We've asked the audience not to applaud or react during the debate.
That is, except for now, as we welcome the candidates. Republican. Hold on. Wait a minute. Republican incumbent Ted Cruz. Representative Beto O'Rourke.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us out.
And with that, gentlemen, let's begin. Congressman O'Rourke, you drew the first question, so we're going to start with you because you drew the first question. You said last week, Representative, that you want citizenship for Dreamers today, and yet others who have applied to come to America continue to wait. Senator Cruz has said he doesn't support a path to citizenship for Dreamers, which means they could be sent back to a country they've never known. Who's right, Representative?
First of all, let me say thank you to NBC5, to the Dallas Morning News, to SMU, and the people of Dallas for having us here at this debate tonight. Let me thank Senator Ted Cruz for participating in this. I'm looking forward to the discussion. My wife, Amy, and I were in Booker, Texas. We've traveled to each one of the 254 counties, one of the reddest communities in the state, and we were surprised as we were going door to door to hear that the number one concern from people in that community was the fate of Dreamers. There are nearly 200,000 in the state of Texas, and the salutatorian from Booker High School had just been deported back to his country of origin. And everyone there was concerned about his welfare, but they're also concerned about the fact that he'd just been sent back to a country whose language he didn't speak, where he no longer had family connections, where if he was successful against those long odds, he'd be successful there for that place and not here for Texas. There is no better people than those of us here in this state, Republicans and Democrats, independents alike. The defining border experience, the defining immigrant experience and state, to rewrite our immigration laws in our own image, and to ensure that we begin by freeing Dreamers from the fear of deportation, by making them U.S. citizens so they can contribute to their full potential, to the success not just of themselves and their families, but to this country. The economists who've studied it have said that we will lose hundreds of billions of dollars to the negative if we deport them. We will gain hundreds of billions to the positive if we keep them here. Senator Cruz has promised to deport each and every single Dreamer. That cannot be the way that Texas leads on this important issue.
Senator Cruz.
Well, good evening and welcome. You know, this issue presents a stark divide between Congressman O'Rourke and me. My views on immigration are simple, and I've summed them up many times in just four words. Legal, good, illegal, bad. I think the vast majority of Texans agree with that. I think when it comes to immigration, we need to do everything humanly possible to secure the border. That means building a wall, that means technology, that means infrastructure, that means boots on the ground. And we can do all of that at the same time that we are welcoming and celebrating legal immigrants. There is a right way to come in to this country. You wait in line, you follow the rules like my father did in 1957. When he came from Cuba, he fled oppression and he came to Texas. He came seeking freedom. We are a state and we're a nation built by immigrants. But it's striking that Congressman O'Rourke, over and over and over again, his focus seems to be on fighting for illegal immigrants and forgetting the millions of Americans. You know, Americans are dreamers also. And granting U.S. citizenship to 12 million people who are here illegally, I think, is a serious mistake. I think Congressman O'Rourke is out of step with Texas on that.
Representative?
I'll tell you about being out of step with Texas. Senator Cruz has sponsored legislation that would have this country build a 2,000-mile wall, 30 feet high, at a cost of $30 billion. And that wall will not be built on the international border between the United States and Mexico, which is the center line of the Rio Grande. It'll be built on someone's farm, someone's ranch, someone's property, someone's homestead, using the power of eminent domain to take their property at a time of record security and safety on the border. Senator John Cornyn and I, introduced legislation that would invest in our ports of entry where the vast majority of everyone and everything that comes into this country first crosses. Knowing who and what come in here makes us safer. It allows us to lead on the issues of immigration reform.
Representative, quick follow-up for you. You've addressed the Dreamers. Do you think anyone who is undocumented living here should have a path to citizenship?
There are millions of people in this country who are working the toughest jobs. And we were in Roscoe at a cotton gin with 24 jobs, every single one of them worked by someone who came to this country. Not a person born in Roscoe or nearby Sweetwater willing to do that work. That's the story of Texas and of this country. We need to bring people out of the shadows, allow them to get right by law. And yes, there should be an earned path to citizenship. The alternative, as Senator Cruz has proposed, is to deport 11 million people from this country. Imagine the cost. Imagine the stain on our conscience going forward for the generations who look back at this moment.
Representative, that's your time. Thank you.
Senator Cruz, this question is to you. This month in Dallas, Officer Amber Geiger shot Botham John, a black man, in his own apartment. Why did you caution Representative O'Rourke and others not to jump to conclusions in this case when the Texas Rangers and the Dallas County District Attorney said she committed manslaughter?
What happened to Mr. John was horrific. Nobody should be in their own home and be shot and killed in their own home. It was tragic. Now, the officer, as I understand it, has contended that it was a tragic mistake. It was a case where she thought she was in her own apartment. She thought he was an intruder. Right now, today, I don't know what happened that evening. Congressman O'Rourke doesn't know what happened that evening. But he immediately called for firing the officer. I think that's a mistake. Look, we have a criminal justice system, that will determine what happened that night. If she violated the law, if she did that intentionally, she'll face the consequences. But without knowing the facts, before a trial, before a jury's heard the evidence, Congressman O'Rourke is ready to convict her, ready to fire her. And I'll tell you, it's a troubling pattern. Over and over again, Congressman O'Rourke, when faced with an issue about police and law enforcement, he sides against the police. So in the United States Congress, he voted against allowing funds to go to body armor for sheriffs. When it comes to immigration and customs enforcement, he has said he's open to abolishing that law enforcement agency. And just this week, Congressman O'Rourke described law enforcement, described police officers as modern-day Jim Crow. Let me say something. I have gotten to know police officers all across this state. That is offensive. Just today, Fort Worth is burying Officer Garrett Hall with his wife Sabrina and two kids who was shot in the head risking his life. Here today, Officer Brian Graham, an Arlington SWAT officer who was shot in the head.
Senator, I'm gonna have to stop.
He is here, and everyday police officers risk their lives for us. Officer Graham is standing there, his two kids. He took a bullet in the head protecting us. And let me say right now, I think it is offensive to call police officers modern-day Jim Crow. That is not Texas.
That's your time, Senator. Please, please, audience, please. No applause.
What Senator Cruz said is simply untrue. I did not call police officers modern-day Jim Crow. And I, as well as Senator Cruz and everyone here, mourn the passing of Officer Hall in Fort Worth. My Uncle Raymond was a sheriff's deputy in El Paso. In fact, he was the captain of the El Paso County Jail. He's the one who taught me to shoot and the responsibility and accountability that comes with owning a gun. But he also taught me what it means to serve everyone, to be sworn to protect and serve everyone in a community, not just some people. With the tragic shooting death of Botham Jean, you have another unarmed black man killed in this country by law enforcement. Now, no member of law enforcement wants that to happen. No member of this community wants that to happen. But we've got to do something better than what we've been doing so far. If African Americans represent 13% of the population in this country, that they represent one-third of those who are shot by law enforcement, we have something wrong. If we have the largest prison population on the face of the planet and it is disproportionately comprised of people of color, we have something wrong in this country. Republicans and Democrats should be able to work together with law enforcement and members of the community for real, lasting, meaningful criminal justice reform.
Congressman, that's your time. A quick follow-up to you, Senator Cruz. Do you agree that police violence against unarmed African Americans is a problem? And if so, how would you fix it?
I believe everyone's rights should be protected, regardless of your race, regardless of your ethnicity. But I'll tell you something. I've been to too many police funerals. I was here in Dallas when five police officers were gunned down because of irresponsible and hateful rhetoric. I was at the funeral in Houston at Second Baptist Church where Deputy Goforth had been shot in the back of the head at a service station because of irresponsible and hateful rhetoric. Just now, Congressman O'Rourke repeated things he knows aren't true. He stated, for example, white police officers are shooting unarmed African-American children. The Washington Post fact-checked that claim and conclude Congressman O'Rourke was wrong. But I'll tell you something, that rhetoric does damage. Senator. That rhetoric divides us on race. It inflames hatred. We should be bringing people together instead of suggesting the police are risking their lives to protect all of us, to protect African-Americans, to protect Hispanics, and turning people against the police,
Senator,
I think, is profoundly irresponsible.
This is why people don't like Washington, D.C. You just said something that I did not say.
What did you not say?
Attributed it to me.
What did you not say?
I'm not going to repeat the slander and the mischaracterization. No, this is your trick in the trade, to confuse and to incite based on fear and not to speak the truth. This is a very serious issue, and it warrants the truth and the facts.
All right, Representative O'Rourke, this question is for you. It's about the national anthem protest. Polls show that most Americans don't think that NFL players should be kneeling during the national anthem, even if they believe that they have the right to do so. But you have said there's nothing more American than protesting for your rights. What do you say to people who claim that you're out of step with most Texans on this issue?
I mentioned just a minute ago, members of law enforcement are not sworn to serve and to protect only some people. They're sworn to protect and serve everyone in a given community. Those service members who put their lives on the line, who are serving tonight in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Syria, they swear not to a man or to a group of people in this country, but they swore to support and to defend the Constitution of the United States of America, the Constitution for all of us. The civil rights marchers who took their lives into their hands crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, some beaten to within an inch of their lives, those who lost their lives in the Deep South to the racism of America at the time. Those freedom riders who had the audacity to take Greyhound buses in the Deep South using the bathrooms or the water fountains of their choice, knowing full well that it would end up in the Mississippi State Penitentiary, Parchman, as it did for John Lewis. They marched not just for themselves, but for everyone. And when now we have injustice in this country, two sets of criminal justice systems, depending on your race, your ethnicity, and your color. That prison population that I talked about that is disproportionately comprised of people of color. Too many unarmed African-American men losing their lives in this country to peacefully protest that injustice nonviolently and to call attention to that, to prick the conscience of this country so that those in positions of public trust and power will finally do something. Standing up not just for your rights, but everyone's rights in this country, there's nothing more American than that.
That's your time, Congressman. I'm going to have to ask again for the audience to please, please refrain from reacting and applause, okay? We need to get through a lot of questions here. Senator Cruz.
You know, Congressman O'Rourke gave a long soliloquy on the civil rights movement. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons that I'm a Republican is because civil rights legislation was passed with the overwhelming support of Republicans and indeed the Dixiecrats who were imposing Jim Crow. The Dixiecrats who were beating those protesters were Democrats. And that's one of the reasons I'm proud to be a member of the Party of Lincoln, a member that stands for equal rights for everyone, regardless of what race, what ethnicity. Every human being is a creation of God that our Constitution protects. But nowhere in his answer did he address the fact that when you have people during the national anthem taking a knee, refusing to stand for the national anthem, that you're disrespecting the millions of veterans, the millions of soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines that risk and fight and die to protect that flag and to protect our liberty. And to be clear, everyone has a right to protest. You have a right to speak. But you could speak in a way that doesn't disrespect the flag, that doesn't disrespect the national anthem. And I'll tell you, those civil rights protesters would be astonished if the protests were manifesting and burning the flag. Dr. King, that's not something Dr. King stood for. He stood
Senator
for justice
Gross.
Without disrespecting the men and women who fight for this country.
Senator Gross.
You heard Senator Cruz's answer. First of all, he again tried to mislead you by taking a peaceful protest during the national anthem to burning a flag. No one here, myself included, has suggested that anyone should be doing that. He also grounded his answer in partisanship, talking about the GOP being better than the Democrats. Listen, I could care less about either party at this moment. At this deeply divided, highly polarized time in our history, this moment calls for all of us, regardless of party or any other difference of race or sexual orientation, how many generations you've been here, or whether you just got here yesterday, we need to come together for this country that we love so much.
And we're moving on here. The next question for Senator Cruz. Details are still being worked out, but Dr. Christine Blasey Ford may testify about her allegations of attempted sexual assault against Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Is there anything you could hear from her that could make you change your vote?
Well, absolutely. And listen, I very much hope Dr. Ford comes next week and testifies before the Judiciary Committee. I publicly called for her to be given an opportunity to testify. I urged my colleagues. The allegations she's raised are serious. And they deserve to be treated with respect.
Yeah, you don't need to hear that because he's lying.
So
I did want to mention, in response to one of the other things he said, he was asked a question about violence against African Americans from the police, and he did the most expected and predictable thing imaginable. He started talking about cops who were killed. And then furthermore said that those who talk about violence against African Americans, their rhetoric is leading to cops being killed, which is the most perverse inversion of an actual quest for criminal justice I think imaginable. But then on top of that, after advancing these obviously racist right-wing talking points, he then tried to do the Party of Lincoln thing because he still, at the end of the day, wants the votes of these people that he's asserting don't need to be protected in any way.
I think what's interesting is that Ted Cruz is coming in strong with people who already support him. Mm-hmm. He's lied a couple times so far, just directly back and forth when it comes to even talking about who he's debating. He's said things that are not true. He has completely changed the subject almost every time he's asked a question. And that is, he's saying things that his supporters are interested in.
Yeah. He's not trying to get new voters.
On the other hand, seems to be trying to not offend Ted Cruz supporters.
Yeah.
Which
exactly.
is not a great tactic so far. He's
Maybe.
Not coming off very strong for people who
I don't know. I think he's coming off far more natural. I think Ted Cruz is coming off really prepared and oily. I think even after all of his experience, he can't deliver a line without it sounding like he'd wrote it weeks before.
The problem is that we're in the space that the people who already support him don't care.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Maybe. I don't know.
How
poll
do
came out today that
though,
O'Rourke,
you know?
That O'Rourke was up by two.
All right.
Okay. Well, we'll listen and we'll see.
Someone like Jeff Mateer to the federal bench, someone who believes in conversion therapy, who's described transgender children as part of Satan's plan. People like Andrew Oldham, who could not say whether the landmark school integration 1954 Brown versus the Board of Education was correctly decided. Brent Talley, who has never tried a case before. Dr. Ford's allegations should be investigated by the FBI, full stop. There's precedent for that. That's the right thing to do given the gravity of the accusations. But the senator is right in this regard. Judge Kavanaugh does not meet the bar for Texas to serve on the Supreme Court in a state that is now 50th in voter turnout. Judge Kavanaugh has a troubling history on voter rights protections. In a state that is the epicenter for the maternal mortality crisis, three times as deadly for African American women, Judge Kavanaugh has a troubling history in agreeing that Roe versus Wade is the decided law of the land. And in a state where you can be fired for being gay, his support for civil rights is in question. We need a Supreme Court justice who will decide in favor of people and for their rights that have been established by precedents and under the Constitution. And in Brett Kavanaugh, we do not have that justice.
Representative, that's your time. Senator Cruz.
You know, it was striking. He didn't dispute that he supports liberal activists who would impose the policy he wants. It's not a judge's job to impose policy. And he also didn't dispute that he wants justices that would undermine the Second Amendment. Let me talk for a moment about the case Heller versus District of Columbia. It's a landmark case that upheld the individual right to keep and bear arms under the Second Amendment. I represented Texas and 30 other states winning a landmark 5-4 victory, upholding your right to keep and bear arms. Congressman O'Rourke, like Hillary Clinton, wants justices who would overturn that. And let me tell you the position of the dissenters. The dissenters in Heller said that no individual, no American whatsoever, has any right to keep and bear arms whatsoever. That's a radical position, it's an extreme position, and that's what Congressman O'Rourke wants to see the Supreme Court doing, writing the Second Amendment out of the Bill of Rights.
That's not true.
And we are moving on here.
Hold on,
of course
he disputed
that.
You can have a rebuttal.
Of course I support the Second Amendment.
In what way, in what respect, and name one judge you've ever supported who would actually
You may not understand how the House and the Senate work, but it's your job in the Senate to decide if you're going to support or not support a given
nominee. Did you endorse Hillary Clinton?
Not in the House.
Did you endorse Hillary Clinton?
That has nothing to do with
my support
of the Second Amendment.
Well, it does, because Hillary promised
absolutely
every justice she would appoint would vote
not.
To overturn Heller.
I fully support the Second Amendment.
You're both past your time, gentlemen. Let's move on here. This question goes to Representative O'Rourke. Representative, you believe in universal background checks and an assault weapons ban in a very gun-friendly state. A poll from Quinnipiac University shows that about half of Texans do support stronger gun laws, while 45% do oppose them. Is Texas ready for a senator who wants to roll back gun rights?
I think Texas is ready for a senator who will defend the Second Amendment, but also ensure that we can protect the lives within our lives. Both Senator Cruz and I were able to visit with students who survived the shooting at Santa Fe High School, to meet with some of those parents there. And students like Bree, who argued that we should have universal background checks because it makes our communities and our states demonstrably safer. We know that from those states that have adopted them that have seen a near 50% reduction in serious gun violence, fewer gun crimes committed against law enforcement, fewer boyfriends killed by their girlfriends killed by their boyfriends. And it is supported by most people in Texas, gun owners, non-gun owners alike, Republicans and Democrats. And listening to those who've served this country, put their life on the line, like the Vietnam veteran that I met in Wichita Falls, who said shortly after the Parkland shooting massacre there in that school that young man.
So we might disagree a little bit on when he's not doing what he should be doing, but structurally it sounds like almost every one of these questions is designed as, here's a wedge issue that might hurt a Democrat. How do you defend yourself?
Do you think so?
And it's his job to respond, but I think they're all framed as, here's a thing that might get you in some trouble.
Maybe. I think it's framed as, hey, here's what people really care about right now. The problem is that the audience, at least when you hear the cheers, seems to not care a lot about people.
Yeah, I wonder if it is stacked or if it just reflects that they're liking what Ted Cruz is saying more. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But he's not being honest. And he's not being kind to humanity.
Yeah.
If we're honest.
He said O'Rourke wants to get rid of all private gun ownership.
Right.
O'Rourke has never said that. And he knows that he hadn't said it. But he says it that way because then O'Rourke has to either imply that he's strongly in favor of guns, which is ceding ground on the issue, or say, no, you know, I'm in favor, which is what he did. But here are the limitations I want to make, which he knows some of the audience isn't going to like either. I think it's that is an actual instance of Ted Cruz being a good debater because he put O'Rourke in a bad position.
He
or a difficult position.
Absolutely did. And it was completely hypocritical as well, because he essentially brings out Hillary Clinton, did you support her, as if that means you supported everything that we don't like about her, even though Cruz himself supports Donald Trump, and we know
he's
he doesn't
popular.
Support. They fought the whole time. They were running against each other.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting.
So,
will he bring up some of that?
The fact that he's jumping into that era, that situation, knowing that he has issues himself. You support someone. If you can support someone that you don't agree with, then how can you have the argument that I can't support someone that I don't fully 100% agree with?
Because the debates aren't fair and they're awful.
Right.
But it will be interesting to see if he brings up the Lion Ted thing.
They said, you know what, if you take our guns, you're not going to make us any safer. You're just going to mean that the killers and murderers have guns. We asked, well, what do you do then? The number one answer I heard from the students and parents and teachers at Santa Fe is more armed police officers in schools to keep our kids safe. We can make our schools safer
Senator, by
having officers protect them.
Senator, that's your time. Representative?
We had a town hall meeting in Graham, Texas, where I met an educator named Holly. She's been teaching for 29 years, so she understands what goes on in schools and in the classroom. She's also the advisor to the Clay Target Team. She's probably the best marksman in that community, maybe of anyone here at this auditorium today. And she said from her experience in the classroom, from her experience as a marksman, bringing a firearm into that classroom is not going to make those children safer. Listening to Rhonda Hart, who lost her daughter Kimberly in the Santa Fe shooting. She tells me bringing weapons into those classrooms would not have saved her daughter's life. It will not make us safer. Thoughts and prayers, Senator Cruz, are just not going to cut it anymore. The people of Texas, the children of Texas deserve action.
Well, hold on a second, and let me be very clear. More armed police officers in our schools is not thoughts and prayers. I'm sorry that you don't like thoughts and prayers. I will pray for anyone in harm's way, but I'll also do something about it. And my very first year in the Senate, I led the way introducing legislation that would have provided $300 million in additional funding for school safety, to harden our schools, to put metal detectors, to have more police officers. And unfortunately, your party in the Senate, the Democratic Party, filibustered that legislation because their only focus politically was trying to undermine the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding citizens.
All right, Senator, let's move on.
Let's move on.
This question is for you, Senator Cruz. The last time you stood for election was in 2016. You were the runner-up in the Republican primary for president. You ran against then New York businessman Donald Trump. Donald Trump, as you remember, dubbed you Lion Ted. He took swipes at your wife and father. You, in turn, called him a pathological liar. And quite frankly, there are so many insults between the two of you, it would take the rest of this show to go through them all. But now that he's president, you guys have become friendly to the point where you praised him in Time magazine. How do you respond to critics who say that as it relates to President Trump, you've lost your dignity?
Well, there is no doubt 2016 was an election unlike any others. And there were some hard shots thrown. I'll tell you, my dad, who's here tonight, anyone who knows me knows my father has been my hero every day of my life. And Heidi and my daughters, who are here as well, anyone who knows me knows Heidi is my best friend in the world. I think she is the most beautiful woman on the face of the planet. I am blessed from God to be married to Heidi Cruz. Now, after the election in 2016, I faced a choice. Donald Trump had been elected president, and we had an opportunity to do something extraordinary. I made a conscious choice to do the job I've been elected to do, which is to represent 28 million Texans. I've got a responsibility, which is to fight for every person here and every person in this state. And so I have worked hand in hand with the president on substance, and we have delivered remarkable victories, the biggest tax cut of a generation. We've seen 4 million new jobs created since Trump was elected, and we cut taxes and cut regulations. We're seeing record low unemployment. Texans' lives are better. So yes, I could have chosen to make it about myself, to be selfish and say, you know what, my feelings are hurt, so I'm going to take my marbles and go home. But I think that would have been not doing the job I was elected to, and every single day in the Senate it has been my job to fight for jobs, 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 and to fight for 28 million Texans. I've done that, and if the people of Texas reelect me, I will continue to fight each and every day for jobs and economic opportunity for Texas.
That's your time. Representative O'Rourke.
Farmers and ranchers that I meet all across this state as I visit each one of the 254 counties of Texas wonder where their junior senator is as this president enters trade wars and imposes tariffs that are going to hurt no state more than Texas. Average citizens from both parties and independents alike wonder where our junior senator is when you have a president who may or may not have tried to collude with Russia in 2016, but to quote the conservative columnist George Will on that stage in Helsinki as he defended Vladimir Putin instead of the United States of America, that was collusion in action. Listen, if the president attacks you personally, your wife, your father, how you respond is your business. But when
Thank you.
President attacks our institutions, this country, allows a foreign power to invade our democracy, that is our business. We need a U.S. senator who will stand up to this president where we must, work with him where we can, but ensure that 242 years into this audacious experiment, that we are still a nation of laws and not one of men.
So let me say two things. Number one, Congressman O'Rourke invoked farmers and ranchers. I'll tell you, I'm incredibly privileged to have the support of farmers and ranchers across the state. Indeed, the Texas Farm Bureau has endorsed my reelection because I've been fighting for farmers and ranchers for six straight years. And on policy, Congressman O'Rourke's position are dramatically out of touch with farmers and ranchers. He supports President Obama's Waters of the United States rule. He's voted in favor of it multiple times, puts massive burdens on farmers and ranchers. He's voted in favor of the death tax, keeping it broad, sucking farmers and ranchers and small businesses into it. That's not
good. It doesn't affect small farmers and ranchers. It affects millionaire farmers and ranchers. So he had an answer ready for a question about farmers and ranchers. He didn't want to talk about Russian interference. He didn't want to continue to talk about being lined down. Exactly. And that's where I think that Beto O'Rourke has to press him harder.
Absolutely. And
he was being too nice.
He was being way too nice. The question is, are you lying? And the issue was, hey, why are you, he insulted you personally, mm-hmm. but professionally, and when it comes to this country, you've just decided to fall in line, and your excuse to that is, I'm not going to let my personal, that's not mm-hmm. what was asked of you.
I think
O'Rourke
that
could have had a stronger
okay.
response to that, though,
well,
to what Ted Cruz said. He could have had a much stronger response to that, and then here we come back. And Ted Cruz is not playing fair. He's just saying stuff.
Yeah. Stuff that
no
wasn't
matter
asked
what.
About.
He's debating, unfortunately, Kellyanne Conway right now.
It was a terrible mistake for which there is no excuse or justification or defense, and I will not try to provide one. I can only tell you that I was able to have a second chance in my life. I was able to start a small business with good friends in El Paso, was able to meet Amy on a blind date before Tinder. Raised three amazing kids with her, Ulysses, Molly, and Henry, serve my community on the El Paso City Council, and represent 750,000 people from my community in the United States Congress. I've made the most that I could with my second chance and my opportunity. What I do know is that as a white man in this country, there's a privilege that I enjoy that many African-American men and women do not. They do not have that second chance. They're forced to check that box on an employment application form that makes it harder for them to get a job. They're ineligible for the Pell Grants that would allow them to attend SMU or TCU or any institution in this area. And their choices are narrowed. Their options are constrained in their lives. Everyone deserves a second chance. And if my experience can contribute to an understanding that allows me to work with Republicans and Democrats alike on real and meaningful criminal justice reform to ensure that everyone is able to live to their full potential and no one's mistake defines them for the rest of their lives, and that will be something good in whatever meaningful way it is that has come out of that terrible decision on my part.
That's your time, Congressman. Senator?
I don't intend to get into Congressman O'Rourke's personal history, but I will keep the focus on issues and substance and record, and I will say as a member of Congress, he introduced legislation that would make it easier for those with drug convictions to get driver's licenses. I think that's a real mistake, and it's part of a pattern. There's a consistent pattern when it comes to drug use that in almost every single instance, Congressman O'Rourke supports more of it. So when he was on the El Paso City Council, he's one of the leading advocates in the country for legalizing marijuana. He wrote a book about that. Now, legalizing marijuana is actually a question on which I think reasonable minds can differ. I've always had a libertarian bent myself. I think it ought to be up to the states. I think Colorado can decide one way. I think Texas can decide another. But I'll tell you, Congressman O'Rourke didn't stop with marijuana. He introduced and he advocated for a resolution in the El Paso City Council calling for a national debate on legalizing all narcotics. That includes heroin and fentanyl and cocaine. And let me say, that is not, I believe, a reasonable issue on which people can disagree. Now, I suspect Congressman O'Rourke will say, we're just calling for a debate on it. Well, we're on a debate stage now. I will tell you, I think it would be a profound mistake to legalize all narcotics, and it would hurt the children of this country. That would be a serious mistake.
Senator, that's your time.
I agree with you.
Representative, please.
To be clear, I don't want to legalize heroin and cocaine and fentanyl. But what I do want to ensure is that where in this country, most states have decided that marijuana will be legal at some form, for medicinal purposes, for recreational purposes, or at a minimum will be decriminalized, that we don't have another veteran in this state prescribed an opioid because the doctor at the VA would rather prescribe medicinal marijuana but is prohibited by law from doing that. Another older woman with fibromyalgia who's not able to use medicinal cannabis because it's against the law here, and another African-American man, because more likely than not, that's who will be arrested for possession of marijuana, to rot behind bars instead of enjoying his freedom and the opportunity to contribute to the greatness of this country. Yes, I want to end the war on drugs and specifically want to end the prohibition on marijuana.
And Gromer, let me point out, he didn't dispute that as 9 years ago, as an elected member of the El Paso City Council, he introduced and advocated for energetically debating ending the prohibition on all narcotics, on everything. He says he doesn't agree with that now, but that was only 9 years ago. And I'll tell you, when it comes to this, this is an issue that's personal to me. My older sister, Miriam, died of a drug overdose. People all across the state of Texas, 70,000 people a year are dying of drug overdoses in this country. We have an opioid crisis. And I think talking about legalizing all narcotics, I think that is profoundly dangerous, and it doesn't represent the interest of Texans.
All right, Senator.
That's your time. And Senator Cruz, you get the next question. You fought for the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, but Texas has the highest rate of uninsured people in the nation, and more than 1 million residents signed up through the federal marketplace this year. How do you propose addressing the health care needs of Texans?
I believe Obamacare has hurt millions of Texans. It was sold to the people of this country on a promise from President Obama: if you like your health insurance plan, you can keep it. If you like your doctor, you can keep it. PolitiFact, the left-leaning organization, rated that 2013's lie of the year, as millions of Americans had their health insurance canceled against their will. But the biggest reason people are unhappy with Obamacare is it's made their premiums skyrocket. I hear from Texans all over this state, I can't afford health insurance. President Obama promised the average family's premiums would drop $2,500 a year. In fact, they have risen over $5,000 a year. When Obamacare was implemented, the most inexpensive plan for a 30-year-old healthy man here in the Dallas area was $363 a year. Today, in this zip code where all of us are right now, a bronze plan for a 30-year-old healthy man is about $3,000 a year. A silver plan is over $4,400 a year. That's going from $363 to, in just a few years, increasing over tenfold. That's not right. What do we need to do? We need to lower premiums for everyone. How do we do that? We can protect pre-existing conditions, and you need to understand, everyone agrees we're going to protect pre-existing conditions. But we also need more choices, more competition, more options, so that prices drop, so that young people coming out of SMU or coming out of schools across this country can afford health insurance instead of facing the disaster that Obamacare has done to our health care system.
And that's your time, Senator. Representative?
I don't know how you're going to repeal every single word of the Affordable Care Act and keep protections for pre-existing conditions. Keep protections for Victor, who's the son of our new friend Laura Lehman, who we met. Victor has cerebral palsy, has uncontrolled seizures, is incredibly expensive medically to keep alive. He's a medically complex child, but his life is worth just as much as anyone else's life in this country. I want to make sure that we keep those pre-existing condition protections for Victor. I want to make sure that we improve and stabilize the Affordable Care Act. I want to make sure that I never meet another young man like Joey in Laredo, 29 years old, has diabetes, now has glaucoma, does not have health care. And so the one time that he did see a doctor, that doctor said, you will be dead before you are the age of 40. And as he gets closer to death and takes himself to the emergency room, as the suffering becomes too great, the outcomes will not be as good as they would have been otherwise if we had invested up front, and the care will be disproportionately more expensive. I want to make sure that we also expand Medicaid. This state left $100 billion on the table that could have provided care for people in this community, introduced Medicare as an option on the exchanges, and then get to universal, guaranteed, high-quality health care for every child, for every woman, for every man in this state and every state in the union.
Representative, that's your time. Senator Cruz.
You know, it was striking that Congressman O'Rourke didn't have a word to say to the millions of Texans whose premiums have skyrocketed. He talked about pre-existing conditions, but every one of us agrees pre-existing conditions must be protected. And indeed, when we were debating Obamacare, I introduced legislation called the Consumer Freedom Amendment that would protect pre-existing conditions, but that the Health and Human Services Agency ran the numbers and found the Consumer Freedom Amendment, allowing people to purchase the health insurance that you want, would reduce annual premiums about $5,000 a year. We've got to lower premiums, and Congressman O'Rourke has voted 67 times to keep Obamacare. He hasn't been there to fix the people that are getting hurt, that are forced into part-time jobs. Instead, his answer is socialized medicine. Socialized medicine is a mistake, and it would hurt the people of Texas.
Okay, and our next question is about trade. This goes to Representative O'Rourke. Both of you have expressed concern over changes in trade and tariffs and their impact here in Texas. What could you realistically do to rein in President Trump on trade? Why should voters believe that you would be more successful getting him to change course than Senator Cruz, who actually has a working relationship with him?
Understand the impacts of this firsthand in El Paso, the community I represent where we're raising our children, a trading community. One out of every four jobs is connected to U.S.-Mexico trade in our community. I understand it from listening to the people of Texas. Unlike the senator, I've shown up to every single county in the state, being in Seminole, listening to a pecan grower who's seen the tariffs on his pecans go from 7% to 47%. No one's buying
his
pecans
going to talk about victory
around
pecans.
The world right now. No, he's
so here's the issue. We've been talking about this the whole time. He is trying to be way too nice to an incumbent. You have got to attack him. Call him lying. Teddy's lying constantly, but Beto is not saying it.
He's not. You have to start telling the people in the audience and the people who are watching this what Ted Cruz does wrong. Mm-hmm. Why you instead of him? Why are you better? You have to start specifically pointing out what you're doing wrong, because Ted Cruz has a box of things that don't even make sense that he's saying or O'Rourke is doing wrong.
Yeah.
They're not even true. And so now he's on the defense. All he's doing is being able to say, that's not true. I didn't just say that. You're not telling the truth. No, tell us what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Talk about that, because you know there's a reason that you're running against him.
Yeah,
and he's not taking the chance. I told you.
Yeah. Well, I thought he was okay in the beginning, but I am getting a little bit frustrated with it as it goes on.
No, yeah. Yeah.
That those Mexican workers also have the ability to organize, to demand
higher
wages,
which
will make
the United States worker a little bit more competitive. Ted Cruz is going to come in
talking about how the Mexican workers are stealing. In the draft that I've seen so far of this latest agreement, that is included within it. So it shows that I'm able to stand up to the president where it counts and able to work with him where it will do the most good.
That's your time, Senator Cruz.
Free trade is good for Texas. It's good for Texas farmers and ranchers. It's good for Texas businesses. I have made the case to President Trump directly and personally dozens of times that we should be expanding our access to foreign markets, opening up the Mexican energy markets, expanding our access to Canada. If you look at the EU, it was interesting that Congressman O'Rourke referenced the EU. We've actually seen real breakthroughs in trade with the EU, that the European Union is now talking about sitting down with America and looking at zero tariffs, lowering their tariffs. You know, I thought it was interesting Congressman O'Rourke brought up pecan farmers, because I've made the case directly to the administration that they should work on India to lower their tariffs on pecans so that we can export to India. But the difference is, I've made that case repeatedly to the president. Over and over again, I've worked hand in hand with the president on policy wins for the people of Texas. As far as I know, Congressman O'Rourke has never spoken to the president other than to publicly call for his impeachment. That doesn't suggest a relationship in the state of Texas when you are leading the extreme left wing wanting to impeach the president and attack the president. That's not setting you up to have victories for the people of Texas.
Representative.
I'll work with anyone, anytime, anywhere, and that includes the president of the United States. Worked with Republican colleagues to expand access to mental health care. There were 500,000 veterans who put their lives on the line for this country, who by law, because of the status of their discharge, were unable to go into a VA and see the psychiatrist or psychologist who would save their lives. I was able to bury the differences between myself and a Republican colleague who had a similar proposal. We introduced it, got it passed in the House. There was a similar bill passed in the Senate, signed into law by President Trump. That's saving lives of veterans in this state and throughout this country right now. So whether it's veterans, service members, farmers, ranchers, Americans, I'll stand up for everyone and work with anyone, including the president, to make sure that we do better for this country.
Senator Cruz, this question is about Texas values. You campaign on the fact that you represent Texas's values. But if you look at the polls, this is a closely contested race, and Congressman O'Rourke has a lot of support in Texas. Why do you represent Texas values and your opponent does not?
Well, 6 years ago when I ran for Senate, I promised the people of Texas I would fight every day for lower taxes, lower regulations, and more jobs. That I would fight to secure and defend the border, and that I would fight to defend the constitutional right of every Texan. I've kept that promise. That's what I've done every day in the Senate for the last 6 years. You're right, we have a real race in the state of Texas. The hard left is energized, they're angry, many of them are filled with hatred and for President Trump. And we are seeing tens of millions of dollars flow in from all over the country to Congressman O'Rourke's campaign, and the reason is simple. As he takes extreme left-wing positions further to the left of Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or Nancy Pelosi. He gets millions of dollars. For example, Congressman O'Rourke has said he is, quote, open to abolishing ICE, abolishing the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. Those are his words. Now, Nancy Pelosi's never said that. Congressman O'Rourke has said he would vote now today to impeach President Trump, right now today. Bernie Sanders never said that. Congressman O'Rourke's positions are out of step with the people of Texas, and I think the people of Texas, what they want, look, 1,000 people a day come to Texas because we understand low taxes and low regulations produce jobs, and what I hear from Texans all across
so,
the state...
So he's going to keep coming back to the impeachment line because although President Trump has a very low approval rating, I think that they have made the calculation that the only way that he survives is by firing up those voters, those voters who are not going to be fired up by many of the Republican congressional and senatorial candidates, but do really love Donald Trump. And so they are now trying to pitch this as an election that will determine the fate of the Trump presidency. And so he's less making the case for himself than making the case for protecting Donald Trump from impeachment, whether O'Rourke regularly says that he wants to impeach him or not. I think that's why we're going to keep hearing about this.
He's like making this argument that if O'Rourke wins, that Texans are going to be forgotten about because he is just so against the president that he's not even going to talk to him. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to fight for your needs and wants because he just refuses to talk to the president.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely ridiculous. And we keep coming back to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see if it works.
In the United States Senate. In 2016, he missed one half of the votes in the United States Senate. You tell me who can miss half the days at work and then be rehired for the same job going forward. That's not what Texans want. They don't want somebody who's captured by corporations and political action committees and special interests because that's where Ted Cruz gets his money. Our campaign is the largest grassroots campaign this state has ever seen. Funded by people and only people in every single one of the counties of Texas every single day.
Congressman, that's your time. Senator.
You know, Gromer, Congressman O'Rourke doesn't seem to understand that representing Texas is not doing a photo op in each county in Texas with reporters in tow. But it's actually standing up and fighting for the people of Texas. And I can tell you, in the 6 years I've represented Texas, I have been there on the ground. In West Texas, when the explosion happened, I was on the ground with the families of the first responders who were killed. When Hurricane Harvey hit this state, I was on the ground in my hometown of Houston, but also in Victoria and Rockport and Port Aransas and Aransas Pass and Refugio and Beaumont and Port Arthur and Orange and Nederland. Oh, not once, not twice, but three, four, five times on the ground with the people of Texas. When Sutherland Springs saw the worst church shooting in the history of this country, I was on the ground. Representing Texas is being there for Texans, but actually standing up and fighting for Texans, not George Soros, not big liberal interest, but fighting for the values of the people of Texas.
And the next question goes to Representative O'Rourke. The Texas business community overwhelmingly supported the tax overhaul that you voted against last year. How can you effectively represent that important constituency when you have such a fundamental disagreement?
Generations from now, people looking back at this moment will not be able to believe that a country $21 trillion in debt, with the greatest levels of income disparity that we've seen since the last Gilded Age of more than 100 years ago, would find as its solution to the problem $2 trillion in tax breaks that disproportionately flow to corporations that are already sitting on record piles of cash and the already wealthy in this country. A tax bill written by the lobbyists for those very corporations. In fact, in one draft, in the margins, written by those lobbyists so that their corporate bosses could see the text before the senators could vote on it. And in the days before and just after Senator Cruz voted for this massive giveaway to the already wealthy, he received more than $120,000 from the political action committees that represent those who benefited from these tax breaks. I believe not in investing in corporations and in special interests. I believe in investing in people, in universal pre-K for every child so everyone has the same starting line in life, in health care for every Texan and every American so they're well enough to be their best, the ability to attend community college or SMU so that you can better yourself and do better for everyone else in your life, in your community, and in this country. I believe in investing in broadband internet in the 50% of rural Texas that today cannot reliably get online. I believe in investing in communities and in people, not in corporations, special interests, and political action committees.
You know, there is a consistency in Congressman O'Rourke's record. Over and over and over again, he supports higher taxes. When he was on the El Paso City Council, he voted 3 times to increase property taxes in El Paso. He voted in favor of a, quote, rain tax, which I don't even know what that is. I guess a tax on rain, but I'm not sure. He voted in favor of a pool tax. As a member of Congress, he has voted in favor of the death tax. He voted against the tax cut. And by the way, this tax cut has cut taxes on Americans all across Texas. It doubled the child tax credit. If you're a parent, it doubled it from $1,000 a child to $2,000 a child. That's real money. And by the way, that's refundable and in your pocket. And yet, his answer is he doesn't want to cut taxes. He wants to raise your taxes. So understand what Beto O'Rourke is promising you. If he's elected, he will fight to raise your taxes. That is not consistent with what the people of Texas want.
Representative.
Those 6 years that I was on the El Paso City Council, every single year, we balanced the budget. We didn't see each other as Republicans or Democrats. We saw each other as El Pasoans with a common interest in delivering for the taxpayers in our community. Only one of us on this stage has started and run a small business, had to meet payroll every single week, had to go before the bank and try to get a loan to expand that business, had to go out and hustle for new customers and make sure that we kept those who we already had happy going forward. That required balance in a budget and understanding how to make ends meet. I want to make sure that, again, we're not giving away to corporations and special interests. That's what Senator Cruz would do, thanks to the contributions that he's received from those political action committees. He's working for the clampdown and the corporations and the special interests. He's not working for the people of Texas.
Representative, that's your time. And we are at our final question. Wow, this went quickly. And this goes to Representative O'Rourke. We'd like to end this for both of you on a very positive note. And we'd like to ask you to tell us something that you admire about your opponent.
Senator Cruz and I were both elected to the United States Congress in the same year, 2012. We both have young children. I know how hard he works. I know how much time he has spent away from his kids. I know what a sacrifice that is to his family. I know that he's doing it for one reason. He wants to serve this country, and he's trying to do his best. We may have differences of opinions on what our destination might be and how we're going to get there, but I have no question that Senator Cruz wants to do the best for America. And he does so at great sacrifice to his family and to his kids. And so I thank you, Senator Cruz, for your public service.
Thank you. And you know, I actually agree with those sentiments. I would express the very same sentiments back at Congressman O'Rourke. You're right. Being a dad of young kids is hard. I know the sacrifice you're putting in. My girls, every day when I leave for the campaign trail, it's hard. There are a lot of tears in the Cruz household. I'm sure there are in the O'Rourke household, too. That is the single hardest part of doing this. And let me say beyond that. Look, I think Congressman O'Rourke is passionate. He is energetic. He believes in what he's fighting for. In fact, I have very much the same sentiments. You know, last year I did 3 debates with Bernie Sanders, and I expressed this at all 3 debates, that Bernie Sanders believes in what he's fighting for. He believes in socialism. Now, I think what he's fighting for doesn't work, but I think you are absolutely sincere, like Bernie, that you believe in expanding government and higher taxes. And I commend you for fighting for what you believe in. As you noted, we disagree on the outcome, but you're fighting for the principles you believe in, and I respect that.
True to form.
Before we bring the debate to a close, each candidate will have a 90 seconds for a closing statement. Senator Cruz, let's start with you.
In November, there are going to be a lot of things on the ballot. Both Congressman O'Rourke and I will be on the ballot, but there's going to be a lot more than that. Jobs will be on the ballot. We've seen in the last 2 years 4 million new jobs all across this country. Paychecks will be on the balance. We've seen Texas employers like American Airlines, like Southwest Airlines, like AT&T giving bonuses and pay raises. Your 401k and your savings will be on the ballot, as we've seen the pensions of millions of Texans going up. You know, Texas understands a very simple formula. When you cut taxes, when you simplify the tax code, when you lift the burden on small businesses, it's good for Texas. It expands jobs. It expands opportunity. And there is a fundamental choice in this election. It's a choice between, we're seeing nationally socialists like Bernie Sanders, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and indeed, Congressman Beto O'Rourke advocating for those same policies, full-on socialized medicine, which, by the way, they call Medicare for All. And let me say to all the seniors in Texas, Medicare, you paid into it your whole life. You're counting on it for your health care. What they're proposing is putting every single person in this country, including illegal aliens, everyone in this country, into Medicare without paying for it. That would bankrupt Medicare. There is a choice for this country. You know, there are also states that implement the kind of policies Congressman O'Rourke supports. High taxes, high regulations, open border states. You look at California, which is hemorrhaging population. You know, the cost of a one-way U-Haul from California to Texas is more than 300% the cost the other way around. In Texas, we understand that if you get government off the backs of small businesses, Texans do well. I've fought for that for 6 years. I've kept my promise, and I will always stand and fight for 28 million Texans.
That is your time, Senator. Thank you. Representative O'Rourke.
Yeah. Let me again begin by thanking SMU, NBC5, the Dallas Morning News for making this possible tonight. Let me thank everyone here and everyone who's watching right now who has invited me to your communities, who has invited me into your homes, who's invited me into your lives, into your hopes and your dreams and the very high expectations that we are together setting right now for this country. At this deeply divided, highly polarized moment, you have reminded me that before we are Republicans or Democrats or independents, we are Texans, we are Americans, we are human beings, and we're going to start acting that way. President Harry Truman reminded us that this country was not founded on fear. Instead, we are founded on courage, on imagination, and an unstoppable determination to do the job at hand. I've never heard a better description than that one for the people of Texas that I've met in each one of the 254 counties. We are not running against anyone. We're not running against anything. We're not running against another political party. We are running for this country, by and for each and every single one of us. We are going to use the challenges that we face, being the least insured state in the country, where the number one provider of mental health care services is the county jail system today, to a state that leads the way to ensuring everyone is well enough to live to their full potential, a state where 50% of the teachers are working a second or a third job just to make ends meet instead of being able to focus on those children before them. We're going to lead the way in having their backs and making sure that we don't privatize public education money and send it to a private school. Whatever the challenge is, I know that we are up to the task, and I want to thank you for inspiring me, giving me confidence, giving me hope, encouraging me like no time in my life. I am grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. And that concludes tonight's Senate debate. We'd like to thank both of our candidates, our audience, and SMU for hosting tonight.
Some important dates to keep in mind. The last day to register to vote is October 9th. Early voting is open from October 22nd to November 2nd. Election day, November 6th.
Thank you.
With more than 7 million already calling DFW home, what will be the impact of hundreds of thousands of new Texans? Massive. NBC5 is examining the sweeping changes that will be hitting home, from housing and education, culture...
Well, so that happened. Mm-hmm. Okay, what is your takeaway?
You know, Better O'Rourke was too soft. He was too... He seemed too timid.
He was pudding soft.
And absolutely, and even at the end, we were sitting here, and we were watching it, and it was just like, what are you doing? He's going to insult you. They asked him a question. Asked him both, say something nice about the other person, and the thing is, Beto O'Rourke had been saying nice things and soft things about Ted Cruz the entire time, and he actually, in that moment, contradicted himself.
Yes.
And one of his main and one of his strongest arguments against Ted Cruz in his response to tell me something nice about this guy, he contradicted himself. What did Ted Cruz do? He made the biggest, juiciest, nice, nasty sandwich that I have ever seen, and he insulted him. He basically said, you're fighting for terrible things, but you're going hard for it, so I respect that.
You're like Hitler, okay? You're evil, but you're passionate about your evil, and I respect your passion.
Exactly, which was just, I mean, that was a really good tactic.
For a slime ball, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, that's where we're going with this. And that's the whole time, there were even every good point that Beto O'Rourke had, every good question that he asked him, Ted Cruz just slid right by it. Mm-hmm. Every single time, and everything turned into an insult. And I felt like he could have, on the other side, handled this better. Tell us, why you're running against him. Tell us why he's bad for Texas, because he has all of these things that he's saying about you that aren't even true, that aren't even logical.
He was hinting at a few things, but he wasn't really making the case.
He wasn't going
at trying to be, you know, I love Democrats and I love Republicans and I'll work with everybody.
He was trying not to offend.
He was trying not to offend, and you're trying to take out an incumbent senator in, I would say, territory that's not necessarily set up for you right now. Demographically, things are changing, but they're not quite there. Yeah, he contradicted himself by saying you're such a hard worker when you had just pointed out that he missed 50% of the votes in 2016. He said, I respect that he truly wants to serve his country when you are attempting to make the case that he is bought by corporations and donors from out of state. Don't undercut your points, especially when he'll just turn around and say, you know what, I respect that you're a goddamn dirty socialist.
It's exactly what he did. And what, I mean, I feel like you could have been like, you know what, he loves his wife. He's a great dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just say he seems like a good dad, you know? Yeah, so
he loves this state. Not all the people in it, but he loves this state. Like, you know, there, he could have gone with this in so many directions. And it, I think what was, and I think that what we're going to see is bothersome for a lot of people is that what you've been doing, it's working. You mentioned that he's 2 points ahead in the polls. That is not the, that's not the race that he jumped into. That's not what things looked like.
So, or that he could have expected.
Right, and so you are at a space where what you're doing is working. This is not what you're doing. This is not an example of what you've been doing and what's working for you.
Yeah, no. And by the way, it's a reminder, not just for the for this race, but for all races. People will say, well, you can't run like a Democratic socialist. They'll call him a socialist.
Right.
They're going to call him a socialist anyway.
Regardless.
Beto O'Rourke is not Bernie Sanders. He's not Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. He's not a crazy, wild-eyed progressive, but they're going to call you that anyway. And by the way, you just saw a preview there. They're going to lie about Medicare for All.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to lie viciously about it. So put up someone who can actually defend it. If they're going to attack you that way, at least have somebody that can turn it into their benefit and explain why those policies would be beneficial. Beto O'Rourke gets attacked for being a socialist and then defends himself by saying, oh, no, I don't actually support any of that.
Right.
That is not strength. That is the exact opposite of strength.
Ted Cruz is ready. And unfortunately, you know, he's been doing this for a long time, half the time, as Beto O'Rourke pointed out very quietly.
Mm-hmm.
One time, you know, in that. But he, I mean, he knew what he was doing. He had no problem being on the attack and just
and
not
lying.
Being honest. Yeah.
He does
I mean, we
not
talked
mind
about,
lying.
We talked about the health insurance. He said that there was health insurance for a 30-year-old person that was $300. Where? I have lived in Texas. I've worked in Texas. I was 30 years old just two years ago.
Yeah.
Been there. That's not a thing.
God, you gotta point out, like they're so worried about doing any sort of meta commentary about the debate, and I don't understand that. Ted Cruz is an oily, slimy politician who has prepared answers based on research. This is not him expressing what he really thinks. Point that out. When he says something that's a lie, say, you know, I hate to call him Lying Ted, but there he goes with the lies again.
Right.
Like, make that the thing. You can't simply try to defend your position. You have to put him on the defensive, too, and try to take him off some of his planned remarks. So you think overall that this probably did not help Beto O'Rourke?
No, I don't think this helped at all, and I think this was disappointing because, listen, you've been running. He has, and we did together and compared him to Obama. I think he has similarities to Trump and similarities to Obama, and I'll explain that. I think that he has done a good thing. Donald Trump has been able to leverage his popularity.
Mm-hmm.
And that he turned it all into votes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Beto O'Rourke has been able to do that, like kind of leverage his popularity. And he's popular for different reasons, just by talking to people and normalizing people and being a voice for people who are often forgotten. This wasn't that voice. And he's also, he's able to talk to people and kind of invigorate this younger group of voters. And that's what Obama is good at, is bringing people who felt like they didn't matter, who didn't care to vote because they felt like it didn't matter, and bringing them to the polls. And that's what he's been good at. And your whole argument has essentially been, hey, this, what you have, this is not normal. This is not working for you. I have people that deserve to be fought for. All of you deserve to be treated better in this state, and I'm going to be that person. We'll fight for them.
Mm.
He spent a lot of time fighting for Ted Cruz. It was weird.
He was being way too nice. Yeah,
and it's like, that's not who you are.
Yeah, well, it doesn't seem to be in the other things that we've seen in terms of video. I think Ted Cruz is a flawed candidate in so many different ways,
right.
And Beto O'Rourke did very little to drive home that flaw. I think that his response when it came to the disagreements between Trump and Ted Cruz, he disarmed himself. There was no reason to do that. If Ted Cruz is going to continually say that you want to raise their taxes and burn their flags and take away all their guns, then point out that in Texas, a place that prides itself on a strong sense of independent, rugged American masculinity, you were unmanned by Donald Trump. You let him call your wife ugly and your dad a murderer. And I think it is pathetic that any Texan would want to vote for someone who is so diametrically opposed to core Texan values of masculinity and independence. And furthermore, why did the Mercers give you tens of millions of dollars for your presidential run? Why were these out-of-state billionaires so invested in you? Why is it that such a high percentage of your donations come from gigantic corporations from around the country? You have been bought by corporations. That is why you were able to smooth over your differences with Donald Trump, because at the end of the day, you have the same owners as Donald Trump has. That makes it very simple, I guess, when you're working to profit those people.
Absolutely. And Ted Cruz's whole argument is Texans, 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 Texans first. This guy cares about all people. Well, guess what? You spent a year trying to leave the job as someone who only fights for Texans. And then guess what? You wanted the job. That would mean you would fight for Californians, yeah. For people who live in Colorado, for people who live in Florida, for people
That's
who live
point.
In Massachusetts. Yeah. You wanted that job. You did not want this job. After all these years, you actually fought to leave this job. Mm-hmm. Of Texans only. And we didn't hear any of that. We didn't hear anything about that. It's like he's so anti all of these other states, but you wanted to be their protector.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, like, so Ted Cruz used the defense of if he gets in, we talked about it earlier, if he gets in, he's going to try to impeach the president, mm-hmm. which tempts to fire up the people who still like the president. But we know that the president's approval rating is very low. So tie Ted Cruz to this incredibly unpopular president.
Right.
I mean, it's possible in the beginning, I wasn't here for the first few minutes, they talked about the border crisis and family separation, all that. Ted Cruz is in lockstep with one of the most immoral policies in modern history in America. He supports an incredibly immoral president. Talk about the president's, like, his issues with his family and his cheating on his wife and Donald Trump. Ted Cruz does not have any problems with Donald Trump in that. Tie him to the unpopular parts of the president as well.
That's a good point.
And I didn't see any of that.
When he kept saying impeachment, 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 and instead of, no, I'll work with him, why don't you say, hey, this president is horrible. If that's what you feel, why don't you bring that up? Why don't you say, this president that Ted Cruz mm-hmm. is so just, it's so important to defend him, this president snatched infants away from their breastfeeding mothers.
Yeah.
For months.
Yeah, I mean,
are children that are still, have not seen their parents. It's still, right now, to this day, have not seen their parents in months.
Hundreds.
There are children who are hundreds of thousands of miles away from their parents.
Yeah.
Right now. Bring something up. Bring that up.
Yeah, and also, when talking about the tariffs, like, Donald Trump has said absolutely horrible things. Like, he says, okay, so I'm going to raise the tariffs. It's going to hurt Harley-Davidson. But you know what? If Harley-Davidson fights back, mm-hmm. we're gonna destroy them, okay? This, obviously, classic American brand and all that. He said about the soy farmers, like, yeah, it's going to hurt them, but they'll take the hurt. Which, of course, they'd never let Barack Obama get away with saying something like that. Then say, okay, Ted Cruz and Donald Trump are very clear on their trade policy. They expect that you will be so blinded by partisanship that you are willing to crawl willingly into your economic grave. I would never force you to do that. I would never ask you to slit your throat in blind support of my trade policy. He wants you to do that. I don't. I'm on your side. He's obviously on the side of the corporations. Yeah,
he's
I don't know.
He's had a lot
it's
of opportunities to fight for the people that he is, and that I believe he wants to fight for. But it just was a
we have two more
to show it. Right.
Maybe he'll respond. Maybe his preparation will be different.
This was a learning experience, and I think he went into it. He overshot the whole, I'm not going to be nasty. Ted Cruz is going to be nasty. I'm not going to be nasty. But nobody's asking you to be a nasty. Mm-hmm. We're asking you to be honest and point out how nasty he is.
Yeah. And by the way, you know who regularly lost in debates to nasty debaters? Ted Cruz. Okay, he was destroyed by Donald Trump in all of those because Donald Trump was willing to be nasty. Now imagine if you had someone who was willing to be nasty in that way, but also honest and also on the side of the people. That would be a potent combination. Yeah, maybe he'll do it next time. I hope so, because that was... I like Beto, but that did not give me a lot of confidence.
It was a very weak performance. And he didn't have to be the absolute... He didn't have to be Ted Cruz's twin at all. He could have just...
Nobody should want that.
Nobody should want that, and nobody was asking for that, but he didn't have to stand up there and lift him up on a pedestal either.
Yeah, yeah. Some of his points were good. We gave him credit
for those. But he kind of let them get stomped over.
Yeah.
Every single time. And then one time he stomped over it himself.
Yeah. Yeah, there were some own goals there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was a bit frustrating.
It was frustrating. It was an interesting debate, though. That was one of the more entertaining debates I've ever seen.
Yeah.
There were great questions and great opportunities.
Yeah.
They weren't fully taken. And then on the other hand, Ted Cruz didn't really answer anything.
I hope that the next one is better. Yeah. I hope that he responds strongly. And by the way, if in this second debate they ask you at the end to say something nice about Ted Cruz, you better reach into his chest and pull his heart out. Because if you say... No, instead... He, like, can you say something about Ted Cruz? Not only will I do that, but I'm going to zip down my pants so he can kick me right in the balls.
I mean,
like,
it was
he set himself up for it.
The whole time we were like, this, no, don't, you're doing, what are you doing? No, you're saying he's great. This is why, all these are all of the things that you're saying that you want to fight against him. And then you kept saying it. You guys couldn't hear. But you were saying it. As
he's
soon as
gonna
he's going to insult him. He's going to insult him.
And I started
it
to think I was
five
wrong.
5 seconds.
But then eventually he's like, he said Bernie Sanders. I was like, that's what it is. Yeah. The smear is a socialist. And in fact, he did it. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us. Those of you who are watching it live, thank you for being members and having access to this. We're going to be doing it for the next two debates as well.
Yes.
We've got tons of ideas of other extra special independent programming that we're going to put up specifically for members to give you guys a little bit extra for supporting us. If you're watching this afterward, thank you for becoming members, by the way. And you know what's even better than being a member?
What?
Discussing the shows with other members. And you can get that in your social group by telling people to go to tyt.com/join and become a member today.
I love it. Thank you for having me. Thanks for letting me hang out with you. Follow me on Twitter.
Wait, you were here before I was.
I was sitting here very quietly, very frustrated.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much. We will see you next time.